Again to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24. As we read the first part last week, as a preparatory message, today, the next part, we'll start at verse 28 through 48. And we find in verse 28, the Lord Jesus with these two disciples. And they drew nigh to the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the Scriptures?" And they rose up the same hour, and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, "Peace be unto you." But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, "Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have." When he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said to them, "Have ye here any meat?" And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things." Of communion, the word of God, and the sacrament of baptism, or the Lord's Supper this particular morning. And as we do so, I would like to consider with you again from Luke 24, and this time from verse 35. Last week we had verse 32, looking back, see where they were up to that point. Last week we had 32. They said to one another, these two disciples, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the Scriptures?" And we used that as a preparatory message. Now we would like to focus on verse 35. And we read this. And they, that's these two disciples, told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. As they come to the disciples in Jerusalem, they excitedly declare what God has done for them. How they knew Jesus in the way. How we may know Jesus in the way. That's our theme, knowing Jesus in the way. In the first place, in opening the scriptures, that's essential. You cannot know Jesus in the way if you do not open the scriptures or at least hear them. Second, in the breaking of bread. And third, in sharing the good news. Knowing Jesus in the way, opening the scriptures, breaking the bread, and in sharing the good news. It's looking back and it's looking forward while we look up for the grace of God. First then, opening the scriptures. They told what things were done in the way. Well, we know, we heard it last week, what was done in the way. Jesus came alongside of them. There were these two disciples of Jesus. They left Jerusalem. We established that possibly could have been a couple, Cleopas and his wife, going home. All the way home from Jerusalem to Emmaus, about 7.5 miles walking. Discouraged, sad, because of Jesus' death. And they figured, they went back on the very same day that they heard these rumors that he had risen, but they went home anyway. Discouraged. Very discouraged. Perhaps you feel like that sometimes. Going home after a Sunday. Discouraged. Not having seen Jesus. Perhaps you partook of the Lord's Supper and it was cold. Nothing seemed to have happened. It's very possible. But the thing is, we saw that last time where when Jesus came, we read that in the beginning of the chapter, we read it last time. Just look at that again, Luke 24, verse 14. They talked together of all these things which had happened. And then the text was, they told him what things were done in the way. In other words, the things that happened. From the moment that they were talking, discouraged, and then that stranger came, right? Verse 15. While they communed together and reasoned, they were probably going back and forth about trying to make sense of what was happening. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And we saw that they were talking about Jesus while walking away from Jesus. But Jesus comes after them, as the good shepherd always does. Amen. Comes after us. He joins us this morning. He joined us this morning. He joins us again today with his word. He walks with us. He talks with us. Amen. Along the way of life, if you could put it that way. As we come to church and go back to work again tomorrow. For a little while, the Lord Jesus walks alongside. And we could even sit with him. He even ate with us. Jesus joins himself to us. But we read that their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Jesus kept their eyes from recognizing him. And we saw that was a very simple. We don't know how he did it, but we know that he did it, and we know why he did it. So that they stop walking by sight and learn to begin to walk by faith. Or maybe continue to walk by faith because they had earlier believed that Jesus was the Christ. That's what they said to each other. We believed that it was he who would redeem us. They had to learn to live by faith and walk by faith.
Amen.
And sometimes that we have to learn that over and over again. And we get distracted again by thinking that when we feel bad about ourselves, when we feel bad about our circumstances, that God thinks that way too. Blessed are they, Jesus said to Thomas, that have not seen and yet have believed. Romans 10:17, I quoted, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And he begins by drawing out these people. He does it all the time. You see that We studied it in our Bible midweek Bible studies, how the Lord Jesus meets with the people, and he asked them a question. He asked them, give me a drink of water. Or he asked them another question, go get your husband. In order to draw them and us out. And so he does. He says, what are you talking about? Verse 17, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? What is it what you're talking about now? Cleopas said, are you a stranger here in Jerusalem? Don't you know the things that have happened in these days? Of course, Jesus knows. But he says, what things? A question. To draw them out. So Cleopas speaks, and perhaps the fellow traveler, whether it be another disciple, a man, or whether it be his wife, joined, and I'm sure they were together as they were reasoning before. Now they are reasoning with a stranger. And Jesus knew. He always knows. And if you're talking about Jesus, even while we walk away from him, it's always because he has brought it to our minds. Natural man doesn't begin with that. If you have an inclination and a desire to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're wondering whether you'll be saved or not, and you know you're a sinner, you need the Savior, you don't have that of yourself. But don't stop there. It doesn't save when you realize you're not saved. It doesn't help you much if you know what the medicine is. You have a disease, and you know I have to take that. The very fact that you know you need the disease, the medication, you don't take it, doesn't save anybody. You need to take the medication. You take the remedy to deal with the malady. So they were sad. And Jesus says, he rebukes them. It's about Jesus. We trusted that he had been he that should have redeemed Israel while he did. They were mourning while they should have been glad. They were contemplating a dead Jesus. Well, they should have rejoiced in the living Christ.
Amen.
But too often, I want to repeat that. I said it last week. But too often we act the same way. When we act in unbelief and we doubt our salvation. When we put our trust in the Lord Jesus as a sinner. And we doubt our salvation. We're actually thinking for all practical purposes that he's dead. That he doesn't hear me. Okay, he hears other people. But not me. Why me? So they were disappointed that he had died. Well, they should have been glad because he told them that he would die and arise. And he says, it's the third day. Well, he had said that too. I'll arise the third day. And some of them had seen Jesus or went to go see the sepulchre, but didn't find Jesus. At least not at the time where these two disciples had left. If they had stayed a little longer, they would have heard of such that did see him. They went home too soon. But then we read in verse 24 these interesting words that they found it even as the women had said. In other words, the grave was empty. But him they saw not. And I would say no wonder they didn't see him. Because they went by what they saw, by what they felt. They went by the circumstances. They looked at the things that were impossible. And we do that too. Then we won't see Jesus.
Amen.
But if you turn to the scriptures, we will see him. And that's what the Lord Jesus exactly did with these disciples. He, even though he loved them, or maybe I should say because he loved them, he was strong. He said, fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not, or should not, Christ have suffered all these things? In other words, it happened as God said. It happened as he, Jesus himself, said.
Yes.
It was necessary that Christ should die. You see, no wonder that they did not see Jesus, because they did not believe him. They did not remember what he had said. If they only had said, listen carefully to his words, and remembered them, and believed them. That's what Jesus says. Do this in remembrance of me. In remembrance what I have done. In remembrance what I have said. Look away from yourself. Look to me, Jesus says. They would have not returned sad. They would have been rejoicing together with the other disciples. And for us, it of course is if we are like this, and we do not open the scriptures, if we do not search them daily, if we slack off in our devotions, or family devotions, or private devotions, or come to church and are not engaged in the preaching of the word, we should not be surprised that we too do not see Jesus. We can only see him when we search in the scriptures and believe, because faith comes by hearing the word of God.
Amen.
And what does the word of God say? Well, for those at that time, as we heard this morning in our Confession of Faith class, it is the Old Testament. That's all they had. And Jesus said, fools of slow to believe, he says, and then he says in verse 27, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So Jesus opened the scriptures. And that's exactly what they said to the disciples in Jerusalem when they returned. They told what things were done in the way. That's when their hearts began to burn within them. That's when love and hope and expectation was rekindled. There began to be a dawning of realization that perhaps it wasn't altogether the end that Jesus died. But they couldn't explain it because their eyes were still holding. They didn't recognize Jesus, because they had first to come to believe his word. And so they began already in their mind and soul to see and to know Jesus. Not by the eye gate, as somebody once said, but by the ear gate. Not by sight, but by faith. Not by seeing, but by believing. In the world, I said last week, seeing is believing. In the scripture, it is believing is seeing. That's really what this was about. That's why their eyes were holden. Until, of course, they came to the house. And it brings us to a second point, that knowing Jesus in the way is in opening the scriptures, but also in the breaking of bread. In a text, it says they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. You know what happened. The story is very familiar. As they were walking through night to the village in verse 28, and they were so busy deliberating and listening to Jesus, and Jesus was telling them all these things, he was opening the scriptures, and they were enjoying it. They were walking, and before they knew it, they were home. Way too quick. So it says in verse 28, they drew nigh to the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is far spent, and he went in to tarry with them. That's interesting, isn't it? That he acted as though he would go on, as if he would go on, as if he had a hard time slowing down and going inside. Of course, that was his desire. But he was drawing them out again. He did as if he would go on. You see, if they had only a superficial interest, they would have said goodbye. Nice meeting you. But they couldn't let him go. They wanted, there was something going on in their hearts, and they wanted him to stay. It's like us. If you really are having some sense of fellowship with the Lord through his word, we want him to stay. We want to lay hold on it and to keep hold of it if he could. So he acts as if he goes on, but his intent was all along to come in. Just like as they walked away from him, he came after them, and as he walks with them, he wants to stay a little longer. And who knows what else they spoke about, but we do know that they sat down to eat. It's probably the end of the day. It's been a long day, that first Sunday that Jesus was risen. So they stay in, and it came to pass, we read in verse 30, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. Now, I said last week already that normally it's the host's work to take the bread and divide it. I mean, it's very strange, right? If you have people over and you sit at the table, and that stranger would take the honors that normally belong to the host. If a stranger would take the bread and break it and divide it. But it shows something very important, that it is Jesus all along who is in charge.
Amen.
He was in charge along the way. He's in charge of the house. He is the host even today. He was the host this morning.
Amen.
He spoke. He sat down and distributed the bread and the wine. He just uses human instruments. But it's God through Christ Himself who takes the bread, who blessed it and broke it, and gave it to them as He did to us this morning. Now we must of course clarify that this was not the Lord's Supper. This was a regular meal that they had together. We just see there's no evidence that this was a worship service in which they had the Lord's Supper, as neither did they likely know about the Lord's Supper at that time, because the disciples had just a few days before heard it for the first time, and it was only the 12, or actually the 11, when Judas left them. So this Cleopas and his wife may not even have heard of a Lord's Supper at this particular time. It's only 3 days since last Thursday, the Thursday to the Sunday. So we have to keep that in mind. But still there was something in that breaking of the bread that caused them to realize it was Jesus. I said last week already, whether they saw the marks on His hands, or whether the Lord Jesus simply took the scales from their eyes, or maybe both, they recognized Him. Their eyes were opened, it says, and they knew Him. It doesn't say their eyes opened by themselves, but they were opened and they knew Him. He was known of them in the breaking of their bread, as it says in that text. There's two parts in the text. They told what things were done in the way, and how He was known of them in the breaking of bread. Their eyes were opened. And perhaps you had that this morning. Your eyes were opened, you knew Him. You had a sense of it, that it was not just about bread and wine here, but about Jesus and His amazing grace and forgiveness. Now, as I said, it does not mean that they had the Lord's Supper there. It also does not mean that they believed for the first time that Jesus is the Christ. They came to a measure of assurance of faith they already had. They were disciples. They were already believers, but they were in a doubting state. The Lord, as it were, drew them back to Himself. They had met with Jesus several times before during the 3 years that He walked upon the earth with them. It also doesn't mean that they recognized the Lord Jesus for the first time, even though it was a different recognition. It was a recognition with the soul. That's what the whole part of the burning hearts was all about. Their hearts, didn't we, they said that in verse 32, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way, and while He opened to us the Scriptures? So there was an awakening sense of seeing Jesus. Hope. Some encouragement. Maybe an inkling of joy already. There's something going on, that hope is revived. Longings and affections were kindled in their soul. They were sad. Maybe you know something about that. Maybe even at the table this morning, maybe you didn't receive what you thought you should receive, or maybe you were cold at heart, as I said before. But you see, for those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, the Lord Jesus is the bread of life.
Amen.
It's so interesting in Matthew, isn't it, where it says, blessed are those that hunger after righteousness. They shall be filled. It doesn't just mean that those that eat are blessed, but even those that hunger after it already are blessed. For those that cannot live without Him or die without Him. For all those that say, my heart is burning within me when I think about my sins, when I think about the Lord Jesus, and I think about how I shall be right with God. But if you have gone to this table and you were looking away of all that was of self, and we're able to focus entirely on the Lord Jesus and do this in remembrance of Him, you must have had a sense of peace.
Amen.
And rest and quiet and joy. Amen. That it's not in us, but all in Him. He was known of them, it says. Not just recognizing Him with their eyes. It was more than that. It was knowing Him with their heart, their mind, their soul. Their entire being was beginning to respond to the God of peace who was meeting with them. As He spoke His word, as He broke the bread, it's knowing God in Christ. It's a saving faith. It's a growing sense of assurance. Such moments, they can be far and few between. Sometimes you may have that when you have your devotions at home. Sometimes you may do that or have that in family devotions. Sometimes you may have that in church. Sometimes at the table. When you sit at the Lord's table, there may be moments that you think, how can I ever doubt? And before you know it, it's gone. And it's, as it were, pictured here, isn't it? Where it says, their eyes were opened and they knew Him and He vanished out of their sight. You wonder why. You wonder why. Perhaps it is lest they would again live too much by sight and not by faith. Didn't the Lord Jesus do that in all these 40 days in between His resurrection and ascension? He came and He left. He came and He left to teach them to no longer depend on His physical presence, but on His spiritual presence. He was weaning them off His physical presence. And that's what He does too. He weans us from our feeling good and having a great time to walk back, because we have a wonderful time together on the Lord's Day. And then on Monday morning, everything waits again. All the struggles and the trials and the difficulties and your hard work and so forth. So that we walk by faith and not by sight. Even though we don't see Jesus or feel Him present, we know He is. And so we too need to be weaned of our feelings, weaned of our experiences, to learn to walk by simple, plain faith. He vanished out of their sight. But their sorrow and despondency was gone. Their faith was renewed and strengthened. And they couldn't remain seated. They had to talk. They had to go back to Jerusalem and tell these disciples that Jesus is truly alive. He's no longer dead. But see, from their perspective, they were still thinking that the disciples were sitting there together in despondency as they had left them. And if you're a true believer, you don't want your fellow believers to be despondent. You want them to know the truth, so you're going to share it with them. That's what they did. Verse 33, they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them. The same hour. They didn't wait. I said, it must have been later in the day, because they heard about the Lord Jesus risen from the dead. They spent some time. Then they walked all the distance. I don't know how long it takes to walk 7-8 miles. But it must have been, the day was far spent, it says. But it didn't hold them from going back. They didn't wait, well, let's first sleep. No. So knowing Jesus in the way, in the first place, the opening of the scriptures, hearing His voice, when Jesus meets us in the way of our life, in our life's pathway, we have to hear, and we do hear, the word of God. But then the break of bread, as we had this morning, we saw, as it were, something, if indeed we had faith, of Jesus Himself in that. Not only as He broke the bread, but being broken Himself. Not only as He poured the wine, but shed His blood. But then thirdly, in sharing the good news. That's an amazing thing. When they go there and they walk through the night, they find the disciples all awake. I mean, you would think they might have wondered at times. You just tried to enter into their situation as they were walking late at night. Well, maybe Cleopas would say to the other, maybe they're sleeping. Maybe they won't be even awake when we come. They didn't even think about that, it doesn't seem. They just went there and they found the 11 gathered together and them that were with him, those disciples that were with them, saying, but they didn't even have an opportunity to tell them. They were already being told before they could open their mouth about their experiences on the way back to Emmaus. They heard from them, the Lord is risen indeed. That's the first thing they hear before they can say anything themselves. And has appeared to Simon, to Peter. So in other words, while they had that wonderful experience to confirm that Jesus was risen indeed, they hear it from them. As soon as they hear the good news, then they share theirs. What a fellowship that must have been. Late at night, that Sunday night, it must have been perhaps even early into the Monday morning, maybe even right to daytime. They were fellowshipping. The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. But it's the same company that they left behind sad. Now they find rejoicing. What difference? It started all so sad and now it's all so incredibly joyful. And then we read that they, that's the two disciples, told what things were done in the way. The word told is a peculiar word. It's not just the word saying. There's an example about the original, as we talked about this morning in our Belgian Confession of Faith class, where the words sometimes are correctly translated but can be better interpreted as the word used there, they told, is the same word that we have exegesis from. It says they exegeted what was told, what happened. They exegeted what things were done in the way. They expounded. They proclaimed the gospel to their fellow believers. So they, as it were, expounded the gospel. What happened to them and how Jesus was known of them in the breaking of bread. So they told them that Jesus had appeared to them on the way, and how they already began to see with the eye of faith who Jesus was. You can be sure that they related every aspect of it. They treasured all the words that were spoken. They were digging in their memory and to recite it and to recall it as accurately as possible. What a happy gathering it was. How he opened the scriptures. How he made the Old Testament come alive about Jesus. And not only about Jesus the Messiah, but how he was to die. That what happened did not happen wrong, but right. That Jesus had to die and to arise from the dead. And then, of course, when they saw him in the breaking of the bread, they recognized who he was and how he vanished, and how that they arose and went to Jerusalem right away. So Jesus been teaching them and us that our faith must rest on his word, not on our feelings or experiences. However, that does not mean that it goes without feelings or experiences. But you see, they flow from faith. We often want them to precede faith, as if we could be joyful in the Lord before believing, as if we could be joyful in the Lord before obeying. You see, we believe and repent, and then we bring forth these works as well as the feelings that accompany them. If some good news comes to you, you wouldn't rejoice in it unless you believed it. It's a simple thing if you come to think about it. So these people, they were happy. But not until they believed. And not before they believed. But when they did believe, then they overflowed with gratitude and praise and they worshipped God.
Amen.
That's the first aspect. Communion is worship.
Amen.
Standing in awe before God. As we considered this morning too, and I'm sure they spoke all these things about the Lord Jesus. The Lord is risen indeed. And then while they were talking like that, you see that Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace be unto you." again confirmation, when we do believe the word of God, we will sense His presence. Not literally. The Lord Jesus did that just for a while to teach them to be ready to live from here on by faith. He said, why are you troubled? Why do your thoughts arise? Your hearts, they thought He was a spirit. And they had just believed that He had risen. Already doubting. He said, look at my hands, my feet. It's myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit has not flesh and bones. And then verse 41. While they yet believed not for joy. That's amazing. It was too good to be true. They were struggling within their own minds and souls. Can it be really true? It's He again. He came again. And then He shows them, do you have any food to eat? So He eats fish and some honey. And then He again rebukes them. He said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you. He brings to remembrance again what He had said. That all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. He draws them back to His word. You see how He's weaning them from His physical presence to His written presence. They have to learn to live by the word that comes from the mouth of God. Verse 45, then He opened their understanding, they might understand the scriptures. That's every time, whenever we have worship, we have fellowship following around the word. You see. So the first thing is worship, but the second thing is fellowship. Of course, it's now all in part. It's only looking through a glass darkly. We see only a little bit of the Lord Jesus as compared to what can be seen. That has to wait for the day of days when eternity is to come. We shall see Him. We shall see Him as He is. And we shall be like Him. But until then, we live by faith. So we begin to love. We begin to love God as we ought. We begin to love one another as we ought to. But we long for increase. We long for growth in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. We long to love one another more. We long to love the Lord more than we do. That's our desire. And we want to talk about it.
Amen.
We want to talk about it. This was on the mind of them. And they troubled for it. And you do that. You trouble for it. It's worth driving for.
Amen.
For fellowship. For worship first. And then fellowship with one another. So we speak with one another. You read that in Malachi 3:16. Then they that fear the Lord spake often one to another. But he says, how can two agree? How can two walk together except to be agreed? And the blessing is when we do speak about one together with each other about the Lord Jesus, He will manifest His presence among us.
Amen.
Not literally, but spiritually. But often, of course, we must confess we're guilty that we're not speaking about the Lord Jesus as we should. Matthew 12:34 says, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh.
Amen.
What do we speak about? What is the focus of our conversation? Isn't that what our heart is mostly busy with? What really is the passion? I said it last week. What passion does our heart, your heart, my heart, really burn with? What will come out? That's what we talk about most. With our friends. With our siblings. What's really on our mind? On our hearts? Is it what God has done in our life through Christ? Are we really living out of a consciousness of what He has delivered us from and what the price has been? When they understood it, they couldn't be silent. They needed to talk about it. That's what we should do, dear congregation. When we've heard the sermon, let's have conversations together about what we just heard.
Amen.
Pick one particular truth and talk about it. Something that struck you, something that amazed you, something that touched your heart or convicted you. and share it with one another and say how it brought you to Christ again and again and again. That's what this blessed fellowship was all about. And Jesus manifested himself and he appeared again in their midst. Perhaps it is true that we don't have too often a really experiential manifestation of the presence of God through Christ because we don't talk about him.
Amen.
Too wrapped up in other things. We're all guilty of that. But particularly after not only having heard the word of God, but even sat around a table of fellowship, had a double measure, as it were, of his blessing today, we should even be more filled with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To reach out to others. So it's worship, it's fellowship, it's also witness. That we may be witnesses of him. Isn't that what Jesus says? Verse 48, that's where we ended. It's not the end of Luke 24, but we hope to consider that next week as we, from here, go into the book of Acts. So begin a series on the book of Acts. We start at the end of Luke. It's the same writer. But for today, it ends at verse 48. And you are witnesses of these things. The word witness is martyr in the Greek. Because a martyr is a witness and a witness is a martyr. A martyr is one who dies to himself to live into Christ. Witnesses into the world that doesn't know Christ. So not only do we worship and fellowship about these things, but it should spill over from this church into the community.
Amen.
That's what they were. They didn't stay in that upper room. They had a great time there, but they didn't stay there. And they didn't go back fishing either. They went. But they were waiting. They will hope to see that. Because they had to wait for the power that would come, right? They had to wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon them. We hope to see that next week, Lord willing, in a couple of weeks when we go from Acts 1 to Acts 2 and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. And then they, as it were, burst out in witness. The very first day, 3,000 people converted. It's the same God.
Amen.
Who could do that in Harrison.
Amen.
Maybe not in this spectacular way. We may not put God to the test in that way, but God could do much more than we can ask or think.
Amen.
And he does it. He is sovereign. But he uses people. He speaks through people. Is this your life? Is this your desire? To not only worship and fellowship together in the Lord, the power of His Spirit, but also to share it with others. Perhaps you struggle with that and say, how can I do that in my workplace? I've talked with some of you. How do you do that in this setting and in that setting? Well, we can talk about that. We pray over that. That the Holy Spirit would guide us. There will be a way. There will be a means to do this. That others would know Him too. That's really what we find, the conclusion of when the Lord Jesus meets now with them separate. First he met, of course, with the disciples in Jerusalem and with the disciples in Emmaus. And then one more time, everyone together again. He rebukes them and he opens the scriptures once again, opens their understanding. So he opens the scriptures and he opens their understanding. I find it striking, it says understanding. Because they didn't understand the gospel. They didn't understand that. They didn't understand that Jesus had to die. That was a good thing for them. A bad thing to happen, but a good thing for them and for us.
Amen.
So then he opened understanding and he said to them, thus it is written, verse 46, thus it behooved, it was necessary that Christ had to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem.
Amen.
You are witnesses of these things, beginning at Jerusalem, beginning at home, beginning in our home church, and so spread out. That pattern has been repeated over the ages, ever since Acts 1 and 2. among all nations, not just the Jews, but also the Gentiles. So you see how the Lord Jesus is preparing them to be witnesses. But the greatest, I shouldn't maybe say the greatest, but one of the greatest aspects was that they had to learn to use the scriptures. And look at Peter's sermon, just look at it, in Acts 2. More than half of what Peter says in Acts 2 is quotes from the Old Testament.
Amen.
We'll see that, even though it's the Feast of the Holy Spirit, the focus is Jesus.
Amen.
And repentance and faith in Him. It happens as Jesus said it would. And so it is still today. We can be witnesses. Not in our own strength, not of our own message, not of our own opinions, but what Jesus says. Whenever we talk to people, it must always be clearly scriptural. Thus saith the Lord, not thus say I, or we, or this church. Thus saith the Lord. Everything we teach must be backed up with scripture.
Amen.
Then it has power. And only then does it have power. And only then people will know and come to know the Lord. And this is the reason too that not only do we fellowship after church, I might just name another thing, is that we have, for example, family visitation. That an elder and I go visit you all as families, simply to inquire, how are you doing? Did you meet Jesus along the way? Can you share something of that with us? So that we may rejoice together in what God is doing in our lives. We can help you along the way and open the scriptures with you. Don't we do that when we come on family visitation? We open the scriptures to show something about the Lord Jesus, so that together we may know Him and continue to know Him and grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, and begin to show that in our lives, so that we're together as a family, as a church family.
Amen.
This part, the vineyard of God, this visible manifestation of the Church of Christ, local group of brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus, that we may not only come to faith, but also bear the fruits of it. That's the purpose.
Amen.
Of also the Lord's Supper. To strengthen our faith. And we go back into the world with new zeal, new energy, and new love.